the modern Reagan Republican Party, the modern conservative movement, if you want to know what it's going to do, imagine a big table, and around it are all different groups that on the issue that brings them to politics, not on everything, but the issue that moves their vote, what they want from the government is to be left alone. See, the taxpayers, I run Americans for Tax Reform, don't raise my taxes. They're not asking to tax other people, don't raise my taxes. The Second Amendment community, I'm on the board of the National Rifle Association, leave our guns alone, okay? 4 million members of the NRA, 5 million guys with concealed carry, they don't go knocking on doors saying you should own guns, they don't insist that public schools teach books entitled Heather Has Two Hunters, they just, you know, leave us alone and we're happy. The homeschooling movement, now about 2 million students, maybe 600,000 parents, the property rights movement, particularly strengthened after Kelo, the business community that doesn't want subsidies, okay, the guys who just want to not be taxed and not regulated, the guys who are in Washington asking for checks are not part of the coalition, the various communities of faith, and this is where a lot of folks, I think, misunderstand the political part, the guys who get active in the late 70s when they felt, rightly or wrongly, that Carter was going after Christian schools and Christian radio stations. The religious right didn't get going after God was kicked out of public schools, didn't even really get organized after Roe v. Wade. You saw its creation with the fear that the IRS was coming after Christian schools and the FCC was coming after Christian radio stations. And that's when you had the plethora of groups created. It's a parents' rights movement that, again, on the issue that moves their vote, you ask them 20 questions, you can get some pretty interesting answers. But on the issue that moves their vote, they want to be left alone to practice their religion and raise their kids in that faith and not have schools throwing prophylactics at their kids and so on. That's why on the right, in the conservative movement, in the Republican Party, we're able to have evangelical Protestants, fundamentalists, and Pentecostals who don't agree theologically, and conservative Catholics, and Orthodox Jews, and Muslims, and Mormons, who don't agree on who gets to heaven or why, but understand that if they're going to be able to raise their kids and go to heaven, the pagans over there have got to have the same political freedom to go to Hades. Around the table, you got Pat Buchanan and others who look and see all these fissures on secondary and tertiary issues, and he's right, okay? But on the vote-moving primary issues, everybody's got their foot in the center, and they're not in conflict on anything. The guy who wants to spend all day counting his money, the guy who wants to spend all day fondling his weaponry, and the guy who wants to go to church all day may look at each other and go, that's pretty weird, and that's not what I would do with my spare time. But that does not threaten my ability to go to church, have my guns, have my money, have my property, run my business, homeschool my kids. And that's why, even though it can be messy if you listen to talk radio, and Pat Buchanan came into this coalition and said, you know what, I have polled everybody in the room. 70% think there are too many immigrants. 70% think that they're skeptics on free trade with China. I will run for president as a Republican. I will get 70% of the vote. He didn't ask the second question. Do you vote on that subject? And so the challenge as a political organizer and somebody who would like to have my team have more people in the room and not chase out anybody from the room is, when are you talking to somebody on a vote-moving primary issue, and when are you talking to them on what they heard on talk radio or what they thought they were supposed to be talking about that day, or something that they love to talk about? I was in Texas. And a Palestinian American was going on and on and on about who should run Hebron, and at the end of the conversation he said, of course I'm a member of the NRA and I always vote guns. Okay. Step one, forget what he thought about Hebron, talk to the guy on guns, he's in the coalition. And so the people's vote moving issue is not necessarily what you think is most important in the world, and if you try and project onto your own team, oh, I think that everybody should care about taxes and therefore I assume everybody else will vote on that, you can find, if you probably guessed wrong, because not everybody agrees with you on everything, despite maybe the fact that they should. But you're just going to miss what they're organizing. That's why the right is a low maintenance coalition, because on the primary issues, guys are not in conflict. What is Bush going to do? Bush is going to look around the room and take care of everybody in the room. I'm not going to threaten you. I'm not going to threaten you. I'm not going to threaten you. I'm going to not go after what you want. This is what Reagan did. This is, and Bush, the father, was put in the middle of the table and stayed there through the campaign and then wandered off because he didn't understand why he was there. And he stepped on the toes of the taxpayers, the gun owners, and he went through and messed with primary vote moving issues on whole parts of the Republican coalition. Bush, 43, has been much better at that. And it answers the question of, so why is spending a problem? Spending is a problem because it's not a vote-moving primary issue for anyone in the coalition. Everybody around the room wishes you'd spend less money. Don't raise my taxes, please spend less. Don't take my guns, please spend less. Leave my faith alone, please spend less. If you keep everybody happy on their primary issue and disappoint on a secondary issue, everyone grumbles, no one walks out of the door. So the temptation for a Republican is to let that one slide. And I don't have the answer to how we fix that, but it does explain, well, how could it possibly be that everybody in the room wants something and doesn't end up getting it, because it's not a vote-moving issue. So that's the structure of the right. I mean, obviously, the way I see the vote-moving parts of the left, trial lawyers with resources, organized labor with resources and people and votes, votes being largely retirees, money being dues, the two wings of the dependency movement, those people who are locked into welfare dependency, and the guys who make $90,000 a year, making sure they stay there and don't get jobs and become Republicans. And then what we cheerfully call the coercive utopians, the fellows who want to get the government to give them grants to then tell the rest of us that we have to separate the green glass from the white glass, and our toilets have to be too small to flush, and the cars have to be too small to have kids in, and you can't wear leather, and you can't date girls. But the collection there of guys who actually's list of things they want you to do is, and how to run your life is slightly longer and more tedious than Leviticus. And actually, they do want to pass laws on that, as opposed to Jerry Falwell, who his voters would be happy left alone. Now, the conflicts you end up with is people go, wait a minute, but some Republicans say, you know, you got to pass laws against gays or whatever. Well, you can get somebody to say that. It's not a vote-moving issue within the Republican Party. People want their kids protected, but they're not willing to cross the street on vote-moving issues to go bother people in San Francisco who do odd things. So it allows for a lot more conflict. We get about a third of the gay vote for our House candidates, because they've at least figured that out, that the group, that the coalition is non-threatening to them, maybe insulting at times, but it's non-threatening in a political sense. And then our job as conservatives is to wake up every day and say, how do we make more of us and fewer of them? And the left's position is the same. I passed out a series of trends here. I'd be very interested in whether people think I'm missing stuff, think I miss organizing it. I would suggest the biggest trend is the number of people owning shares of stock directly. We've gone from 17% of Americans owning stock up to over 50% of households, and according to Mark Penn, two-thirds of voters in 2002-2004. Somebody who owns at least $5,000 worth of stock is 18% more Republican and less Democrat. African Americans, no stock, 6%. $5,000 worth of stock, 20% Republican. Every demographic group gets better with share ownership, rich, poor, all colors, all genders, with the exception of women who earn more than $75,000 a year, who are already fairly Republican and don't get any better. So if you know any women like this, don't give them any stock. The union membership numbers that I know a lot of you have written about, from 33% down to 12.5%, I think bigger than the union membership numbers is the passing of the generation of union retirees. And there you have the Republicans had a disappearing Republican problem from 1960 to 1975. Older people who grew up under Republican domination in Ohio and Massachusetts, and if you're north of the Mason-Dixon line, you tended to be a Republican. This is why our friend Goldwater got the majority of the over 65 crowd. Oh, wait a minute, I thought he was supposed to close down Social Security, enemy of all people. old people were Republicans, unless you were in the South, and disproportionately Republicans. So when we would go and vote everybody in the old folks' homes in the 60s into the 70s, they would be turning into Democrats. We'd go, what's the matter with our old people? They're all becoming Democrats. Well, our old people were passing away, and we were getting new old people into that tended to be Democrat who'd started to come up under FDR and Truman. And you now have that generation disappearing at 2.4 million people a year, so that every election cycle there are 10 million older people who aren't in, and then more than that younger people coming in. So we're told Breck's comment about they should get themselves a new people. We do get ourselves a new people on a phased-in basis. And that's a challenge for the Democrats, because they're the most Democrat, a big D Democrat age cohort in America and American history is guys who are now 74 to 94 years old. So I go through some of the trends in here, and I'm just trying to work through. And then the big question marks for the Republicans is voter fraud. When you have more mail-in ballots, you have more opportunities for voter fraud. When you have voter ID, you have less. And there are two different trends there. An opening up of same-day registration and vote by mail, which gives you more opportunities for voter fraud, and picture ID and some of the other changes, which give you less opportunity for voter fraud. We view voter fraud as a growing part of the Democratic Party's coalition. And then the big question mark is immigration. And I tend to be to the left of where the president is. And I think that, I don't know if it's quite right left, but my concern is that Tom Tancredo will become the face of the modern Republican Party. I believe handed out here is my favorite quotation in the whole world, which is the quotation from a Republican minister, not speaking in some obscure church somewhere, but speaking to the Religious Bureau of the Republican Party, of the RNC, where he made the Rum, Romanism, and Rebellion comment, which has convinced Roman Catholics for 100 years that Republicans don't like them. You can imagine how many priests there were at this meeting of the Republican Religious Bureau when a guy was felt free to compare Roman Catholicism with treason, meaning being with the South in the Civil War. So I think that's the big open question. If the face of the Republican Party is Reagan and Bush, we'll do fine. If the face of the Republican Party is Tom Tancredo, last year 4.1 million people were born, 900,000 were Hispanic. Okay? If you speak ill of people, they think you do not love them. And that is the challenge of how Republicans talk about the immigration issue. One, to have a reasonable policy. I think we need more people in the country. I would like to have more people in the country. But how we do it in a way that keeps folks happy. So that's my sense on the two structures of the parties. And what will the Republican Party do? Well, their answer to everything is lifetime savings accounts, personal savings accounts, retirement savings accounts, education savings accounts, health savings accounts, because they view creating more share owners as creating more arms. And the Democrat answer is 100,000 more cops, 100,000 more border guards, 100,000 more teachers, 100,000 more government workers, because they're 10% more Democrat and less Republican. If they have the job for 30 years, they're 30% more likely to be Democrats. If they make more than $75,000 a year, they're 30% more likely to be Democrats. So more higher paid, long-lasting government workers gives you more Democrats. It's not a coincidence, comrade, that the two parties have rationally figured out the directions that they want their efforts to go in. And I'll take questions, but I just spent a weekend with Al Gore and the founders of MoveOn.org and the Sierra Club, where they were trying to talk me into understanding global warming, which is very interesting, and they have come up with the perfect environmental movement, which is previously that we had to reorder society because we're running out of oil. Well, every time we find more oil, that kind of queers that argument. Okay, and then you go, okay, how about we have acid rain? Well, you can just throw lime in the water and that's gone away. Okay, how about, they've got the perfect one, which is as a calamity 100 years from now. So stop asking me for proof. But you have to do everything in 10 years or you have the calamity. And it's a much more coherent, very powerful message. We'll see if it quite works, but it's better than the previous efforts.